Maine has adopted that. California has had it for a while. It's on the ballot, statewide ballot, in Washington, and will probably, I would assume, I hope, will pass in about 5 days. And finally, like the county measure, I think this measure should ban or limit independent expenditures. The county measure bans it from everyone except an individual can spend $5,000 in independent expenditures. A political committee can spend $10,000, but only from contributions received from individuals in amounts of $500 or less. Do those limits violate Citizens United? You bet they do, absolutely. And we don't need to be governed by the dead hand of Antonin Scalia and his 5-4 Citizens United majority. Unless Donald Trump wins the presidency, there's going to be a 5-4, if not 6-2, 6-3, or 7-2 majority to go back to the pre-Citizens United regime. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld statutes totally banning independent expenditures by corporations and unions as recently as 2003.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Do send whatever you can from that testimony in writing as well, please.
The next three are Nicholas Caleb, Chelsea Penning, and Gregory McKelvey.
Come on up.
What about, we have Andrea McLeod, Barbara Dudley.
Barbara's still here, she was.
Matthias Quackenbush, Michael Withy, and Karen Jagera-Rogel.
Okay, looks like we might have our last three. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Just want to start out by saying, like, I know we had a rocky month or so, but I don't hate any of you guys, and I actually really respect all your guys' commitment to public service. But anyway, I'm going to start with the story a few weeks
Greg,
ago.
Greg, put your name in the record.
My name is Gregory McKelvey. So a few weeks ago when we were all considering, like, any means necessary to get the elected officials up here who voted for the police union contract out of office, and Commissioner Fish decided, I feel like I'm kind of preaching to the choir because I feel like this is the three people that maybe my testimony doesn't really apply to, and maybe these two are the ones that oppose this, but whatever, for the record. A man by the name of Charlie Williamson commented, I think you know him, Steve, commented on the status of Nick Fish and let him know, and asked him when for Nick Fish to let him know when to start writing checks. So I looked into that guy's donation history, and it turns out that him and his wife have given over $2,000 to political campaigns or PACs just since 2011. And I just ask, what does it say about our politics that when a rich person sees that the community is standing up for something, he believes he can squash that with checks? And I've obviously become a regular here at City Hall, yet with all my work, some of you have refused to listen to me, my group, or the community, and I submit that it's probably not the same for Charlie Williamson. So who would this hurt? Who is hurt by having community members be able to combat politicians with friends like that and others who can write big checks? And who does it help? It hurts you guys, other than Mayor Hales, because he's not running for re-election, who have developed as part of this establishment, and those connections become less valuable. But it helps the community as we get commissioners who represent us instead of wealthy donors. And not by choice, but similar to what Steve was saying, when you have to call these wealthy donors, you start living in a bubble. And there's a Portland out here that can't really afford to give to political campaigns. Like, I have negative $36 in my bank account right now. So when election season comes along, I'm not the one that gets calls. If we had people in these seats up here who had art interests, I think they would have stood up when someone filed a false police report in order to beat women, children, and disabled and elderly out of this building on October 12th when they simply came to testify. I would submit that if it was Charlie Williamson who was dealing with the pain of batons in his ribs still, something would have been different. So in 2012, 600 people who live in Portland gave small donations to support candidates for city office, but their voices were drowned out by just 20 big donors from out of town who gave twice as much. So I urge you all to do the right thing for the community. I believe you all probably got into this line of work due to a commitment to public service and the resolve to make our community better. So please do the right thing, because if you don't, I won't be quiet. We won't be quiet. We will analyze each of those donations specifically to Nick Fish or Dan Saltzman if they have re-election bids. And this won't go away. I won't go away. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen Brogel. I'm going to be very short, but I work in the educational sector of the city, and I think as a community member, it's important to be aware of the need to restore our city and our elections. Every single person in Portland needs to have a voice and equal treatment. At the end of the day, we are a community who needs to promote equality and treat all individuals with the same exactly value as anybody else in our community. The importance of having an understanding leadership and representatives in office will make a great impact in our community. Instead, being their underrepresented. This is important because by individuals, we need to have representative, represented by individuals who promote transparency, which is going to make this city better. The main reason why I'm here is because I want to make sure that people as me are being heard. Thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good evening.
Well, this is very exciting, obviously.
Put your name in the record, Michael.
Mike Withey. Just as a resident, I'm really excited about this proposal because I think about 5 years ago, we were doing something called Occupy Wall Street. And Portland had something similar right near here. You probably heard about it. But that's basically what we were trying to say, is that we really need to get big money out of politics, especially right here where we live, because that's where the homeless people live, that's where we live, that's where we need to work really hard. So this is personal to me, having worked in the homeless field, volunteered in the homeless field, because I've seen it firsthand, and we talk about it all the time. When we look at our city leaders and we look at everybody's Orstar accounts and we talk about recall elections, that's the first thing we're going to do is say how many developers has been, you know, participating with them politically, and is there pay for play here? And of course there is. It's part of politics. But unfortunately, people die on our streets that don't have to. And nobody can tell me that Terminal 1, like it or not, was shut down because of political reasons, political will and money. And that became very political, and that's why people are going to die on the streets of Portland, on the sidewalks of Portland, because we don't have the other space, the other 100 bed set. Do you guys have another place in mind? I know you supported them.
We are going to open more beds.
But this is where we're getting to. This is a life and death situation.
I understand.
So the thing I'm excited about is that whoever says no to this proposal, it's like political suicide. And I just wish that at least one person would do it, because that would make our recall election a lot easier. Anyway, thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. So before we close the hearing, Commissioner Fitz, why don't you outline the schedule of what you have in mind of when we're going to have work sessions and hearings?
Right. Well, first I want to state on the record that we did invite the Portland Business Alliance to give testimony under the invited testimony. So in answer to Mr. McGarrett's point, there are some people who are not entirely enthusiastic about this. There are also a lot of people who are very enthusiastic, and thank you for staying. Thank you for the 31 organizations that have been working with us and getting the word out to people in Portland. It feels like something that we are all doing together. And obviously, my staff and I have been making lists of the suggestions and such. What I'm thinking, Mayor, actually, is like what we did for earned sick time, to have a task force with representatives from that we've heard, and maybe representatives from each of the council offices, to look at, you know, there's a number of different issues that we should be able to work through, and to do it as we did with earned sick time. That the question wasn't whether to do it, it was how to do it. And so I'm going to take a leap of faith and hope that there will be unanimity on the council that this is something we want to do. And so that will take 3 weeks or so, maybe at the beginning of December, come back for another first hearing. I'm looking at my staff over here, that's all right. Come back for another first hearing at the beginning of December so that we could then have the vote the week after.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about the 7th or the 14th, right, of December.
Yes.
Yeah. That's enough time to get the work done, but still the vote on it in December.
Right. I mean, we know what we need to do. And one of the nice things about this is it is based on a system that's been used since 1988. So it's not that we have to think of a whole, that the realm of the things that need to be sorted out are obviously who's going to administer Administrator and High some discussion about the numbers, which I think we'll probably get even more testimony about. And we have also met with former city council candidates and with other elected officials to kind of get their take on, because each of us is different in our fundraising styles, and the campaigns that we've led have been really different for all of us. So that's the work we're going to continue to do. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, that's helpful. And I guess I also want to look at some of the financial mechanics of it. I realize I won't be proposing future budgets, but I know how to propose them. And I think there's some options that we might want to think about how the funding works. Yes, there should be a general fund appropriation. But could there be some accrual in an election when there's not a lot of demand on the fund?
Oh, yes, that's what happened with voter-owned elections. So the council regularly raided that fund if it hadn't been used. And so
setting up funds and not raiding them would be my preference.
Well, no. And let me just be clear that our proposal is that people could start campaigning the summer before the May primary, so in July of the previous year. And it's set up to encourage people to get started earlier. And so it's not that there's a cap on there is a cap on the amount each candidate can get. But if, Commissioner, you're worried about the pot itself being big enough, one of the purposes of doing it this way is so that people don't wake up at the beginning of March and think, well, I think I'll run for city council, that'll work out well. Because it's just not possible with 600,000 voters, especially people in the community. I mean, as was pointed out, we as incumbents we're on television even as I speak, and we have a lot of opportunities to show what our bureaus have done and those kinds of things. But for a community candidate, like Cassie Cohen mentioned, they are going to need to get their word out earlier to get started.
Good. Well, thank you all very much. And Commissioner Fritz, thank you for organizing an excellent hearing. That's the schedule. So, again, if you have specific suggestions that you want to get to us in the meantime by email or other means, that'd be very helpful. Thank you all very much, and we're adjourned until next week.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.